When it comes to cloud infrastructure, there are many worrisome scenarios that can go through the minds of a CTO, a CISO, or a system administrator. That's why it is my pleasure to welcome two experts to the Cloud Tweaks podcast today. They both work at High Velocity, a company that provides high-performance IT infrastructure solutions, including dedicated servers, virtual private servers, enterprise cloud services, and colocation across more than 50 global data centers. In listening to them describe their expertise in enterprise cloud and bare metal environments respectively, we can learn much more about the environment in general and perhaps take away a few great pointers to discuss at your next cloud strategy meeting. Gentlemen, would you please introduce yourselves?
Yeah, Jeff Collins, I'm the manager of product here at High Velocity.
Yep, my name is Sandro D'Alessandro and I am product manager here at High Velocity, focusing on leading a bare metal and VPS.
Well, welcome both. So obviously you are both experts in your industry, and clearly High Velocity is well known as a managed services provider. So in general, high level, what do CISOs, CTOs, and sysadmins need to know about you and, in reflection upon that, about themselves?
I can speak to the enterprise cloud side. I would say, just to give an overview of what we have deployed, Enterprise Cloud is our latest evolution of our managed VMware services here at High Velocity. It's something that we've been doing for probably the past 12 or 13 years. It's just the newer evolution of the platform that we're offering to our clients. We've got mirrored data centers built out in Atlanta and Chicago, consisting of all of the latest VCF deployments that have been defined by Broadcom. It's based on best-in-breed hardware, including Dell, Pure Storage, Fortinet, Arista switches. We've got Veeam baked into it. We've got Zerto baked into it. We do offer a full DRaaS solution. We call it Enterprise Cloud, but I would say we've got clients that are using that service, and we've also got clients that are using bare metal based on their workloads and their applications that they're trying to run. Our enterprise cloud is more kind of a fully managed MSP type of white glove service, such that if we've got clients who are very savvy with VMware, they know how to log into Cloud Director, for example, they know how to build out VMs, set up the networking, we do offer a level of service that basically just gives them an account and let them have at it, similar to what you do in the AWS or the Azure portal. Or, and this is kind of where a lot of our clients tend to lean to for that particular service, is more of our advanced level, where we're going in, we're doing the solutioning, we're deploying it, we're monitoring everything, we're managing up through the operating system, we're doing patching, we're setting the backup schedules. We're basically doing all that infrastructure and managed services type of work on their behalf, so they don't have to focus on that particular part of their IT environment and can focus on their applications and running their business.
And the same for the bare metal side?
Yeah, so for bare metal to High Velocity, it's kind of been our, forte, what we've been known for over the years mostly. And our bare metal offering currently spans across all of our sites listed on our website. I think we have over 40 locations at this point and a variety of different configs, as well as automation features that go with that. So we have typically two different types. We have our instant deploy. This allows the client to basically spin up a bare metal server in any of our sites instantly within 5 to 30 minutes, depending on what operating system they select. And that comes with our standard suite of API access and automation features built in. So if you have certain Bootstrap scripts or things that you want to run immediately once that OS is installed that you've created for your business for automation and scaling, that integrates seamlessly with our system there. We also have some additional features, network automation, if you want to build similar functionality around the network side, VLANs and bonding or unbonding ports, as well as adding or removing IP space, that's all included as well. In addition, we have a variety of different operating systems to choose from and different levels of customization with each of those. Additionally, there's a suite of add-ons that you can pick from. Currently, we're rolling out apps as well, which is essentially baked in Bootstrap scripts to install things like WordPress, cPanel, typical things that you might want to install and get running right away on your system, depending on your application. Other add-ons might include managed services, similar to what Jeff said. We can provide an OS level monitoring and extra security protections inside that OS level. We also have the option for backups, creating restore points with our rapid restore service, and that integrates seamlessly with our MyVPortal as well. We also offer DDoS protection by default, as well as an additional service on top of that. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything else. There's a lot.
Certainly, that's quite a lot of features and options around your bare metal offering. So what did Broadcom's acquisition of VMware in 2023 do to the industry? What did it mean to you and your clients?
I would say Broadcom's new rules have kind of flipped VMware on its head a little bit. I can see where they're going in terms of trying to consolidate all of VMware's products and kind of put everything into VCF or VMware Cloud Foundation. I would say when we were building out our enterprise cloud, it was right during that time where Broadcom was setting those rules. And it impacted us a little bit in terms of deploying what we had purchased already from Dell specifically, in terms of certified hard drives that we had to replace. But I think now that a little time has passed, clients have gotten used to it. Change is hard at any time. I think things are starting to settle down a little bit. And what we're seeing, we have been doing this for probably 12, 13 years. A lot of our legacy cloud clients that are deployed, that we're managing, they're on older hardware. And Broadcom has put into place this core limit. So like if we've got clients that are running on 8-core processors, for example, the minimum that we have to count is 16. So we've been having to charge them more for resources that they don't have. But the way we've designed our enterprise cloud solution, it negates that additional Broadcom fee. We've got the licenses baked in. You're only paying for what you specifically use. So I would say the way that we've deployed that has kind of alleviated that for a lot of our clients. And we are in the process of migrating most of our legacy clients that are, you know, in private environments into the new platform. And it's shown benefit. So I see Broadcom's vision. I get where how they're trying to consolidate, move everyone to one particular licensing model. It's been a challenge, but I think the way that we've deployed it has alleviated a lot of that pain for our clients. And the only ones that are still facing that are the ones that are on legacy gear that specifically are paying for more resources than they actually have in terms of licensing. So I think it's going to continue to settle down. We have seen some clients that have looked to get off of VMware altogether. I know that VMware doesn't offer, or actually AWS does not offer VMC on AWS anymore because of these rules. So we're seeing some shift from that, which is kind of a benefit of our cloud because it's multi-tenant. It makes that licensing a lot easier to swallow.
On April 30th of 2024, a VMware cloud on AWS was no longer resold by AWS or its channel partners. Do you want to expand upon this? What was its impact?
The licensing change drove that decision. It's just gotten so expensive to offer that. The way they do it is by dedicated hosts. So that, I think that's where their disadvantage is. And AWS, I mean, they want clients to use EC2. They don't want clients to use VMware. I mean, let's be honest. So the cost to license those particular servers, they're already pretty expensive. I think you had to have 3 nodes and they're about maybe $10,000 to $12,000 a piece a month. I think that's kind of what broke the camel's back. Again, just having worked with AWS a ton in the past, I think they were probably looking for an exit from that business. That was probably what allowed them to do that. We have seen some clients that were on that we're talking to. They like our model a lot better. They do like being on VMware just because a lot of the clients have that expertise in-house and how to manage things in that particular environment. I get why they did it.
So getting down to your services more specifically, describe to me your choices for customers, specifically between dedicated host options on Enterprise Cloud, EC, or multi-tenant. What are the key differences in the benefits?
Our cloud offers 2 options. There is multi-tenancy, and that's kind of how we're able to make the licensing costs go away or lessen them, so to speak. We do offer dedicated hosts as well, just like AWS used to do in VMC. So that's an option as well. Kind of like their costs were a little bit more expensive. Ours are too, because you're paying for the full server and the licensing that's incorporated with that particular server. But it does offer some flexibility for clients that have compliancy requirements or for one reason or another just want to be on their own physical host and not have shared resources in a multi-tenant environment.
Okay, so to add some further context, let's look at a common use case or a client persona for both Bare Metal and Enterprise Cloud. Sandro, what does this look like for customers looking for Bare Metal?
Yeah, sure. I would say our use cases can span pretty wide. We've had a lot of different market sectors come to us for their solution and for their business. One in particular that's been pretty big has been cryptocurrency validator nodes, as well as other Web3 applications. Just being able to utilize Bare Metal to host this solution and scale on Bare Metal has allowed them to run their business very efficiently, excel in that market space. Another one is gaming servers. We've had quite a few companies utilize us in the same fashion, being able to use a lot of medium to low resource systems at a pretty wide scale, and being on Bare Metal, allowing them to use all those resources while also diversifying their exposure in lots of nodes in their application has allowed them basically to maximize performance as well as reduce failure causes. And another one too is probably MSPs and infrastructure as a service companies.
And Jeff, can we compare this to a client profile or a business case in Enterprise Cloud?
A lot of our clients are more traditional enterprises, clients that want to outsource a lot of their IT, because maybe they don't have that particular expertise in staff, or they still want to deal with managing the infrastructure, the VMware environment, setting up the networking. They'd rather focus on developing their applications and running their business. I would say those are probably the two biggest to us. I think it comes down to what's the application, what's the client workload, what's their expertise level, how much of that work do they want to do themselves, and how much of that work do they want to offload to High Velocity. I think that kind of sets the use case for Enterprise Cloud versus Bare Metal. Some clients like to be more hands-on, and with Enterprise Cloud, if they want to be more hands-on, they've got the ability to do that, just more at the hypervisor level where they can go into the cloud environment, build their resources out, versus Bare Metal, like Sandro mentioned, it can be infrastructure as code. A lot of automation goes into that too, just depending on what the client wants to do. But I would say traditional enterprises or clients that are looking for more of that white glove, traditional MSP type of service is the one that we typically see with Enterprise Cloud.
From more of an overall hybrid perspective, how have you seen clients integrating your various product offerings? Jeff?
So I think from a hybrid perspective, that's kind of how we position ourselves at High Velocity. And when we say hybrid, it can be, you know, we're talking about within our services. So we offer colocation, we offer Bare Metal, we offer VPS, and we offer Enterprise Cloud. But we do have a lot of clients that are more traditionally hybrid. So they may have workloads in AWS. They may have workloads in Azure. They may have workloads in GCP. But they also may run applications in Enterprise Cloud or in Bare Metal. And what we've done, especially for those clients that have multiple services within High Velocity, our MyV portal allows clients to kind of I hate this term in tech, it's so overused, but that single pane of glass view of all their services. And it makes it easy for them to order and consume all of those. So if they need to spin up another Bare Metal server, they can do that via the portal, or if they're API savvy, we do advertise our API calls, they can do it using infrastructure as code or tools like Ansible or Terraform, whatever they're comfortable with. That also lends into Enterprise Cloud. So there's links in there they can click on to log into Cloud Director, see their resources, see their bill. And we've tried to structure it such that it gives a kind of a seamless view to our clients for all the services that they're consuming from High Velocity.
I would add too that I think we're finding clients kind of come to us with and purchase services they're familiar using. If they've been on Bare Metal with another provider, maybe trying our Bare Metal solution out, but then kind of as they get established with us as, you know, their go-to provider, branching out and exploring, you know, our virtual offering or our Enterprise Cloud offering and finding that maybe that's a better fit for them. So almost moving horizontally once they're accustomed to how we operate in our support level, creating that full encompassing solution and being able to try different options as they scale.
The new elephant in the room in all areas of business is AI, of course. What efficiencies have you developed for your offerings, and how has the demands of AI impacted them?
Most of the business for AI is focused around bare metal GPU servers, utilizing those full resources to launch the AI workloads and accomplish the machine learning tasks that our clients are trying to run on our systems. You know, the past few months, we've noticed that a large need for high hardware usage and these expensive GPU cards are starting to either plateau or kind of decline. We've seen that with DeepSeek kind of correcting the market and saying, you know, you may not need all these resources. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future. I could definitely see smaller, more energy efficient GPUs being utilized in, you know, one use systems rather than fitting all these really expensive high performance GPUs in a large chassis and trying to just get as much performance in square footage as you can. Right now, that's kind of the approach, or it has been, and doing liquid cooling and things like that. But I think as far as our offering, we're definitely looking at adding GPUs to our servers and offering them as instant. Right now, we're offering them custom. You basically pick what you want based on your business model, but having those on demand as the technology improves, it'll just fit more into our standard business practices to offer those to our clients.
I would add to that, just from the data center side, capacity and power and cooling are huge factors for this market. So like Sandra said, options within the bare metal platform that we've seen clients utilize, not necessarily a specific GPU server itself, but a server that has GPU cards built into it as part of that, but not like the big H1000s and the big H2000s that can require like 12 kW per rack. So from our perspective, most of our data centers support, you know, assuming it's A and B power on both sides for redundancy, we're probably 5 to 7 kilowatts per rack. And so essentially by putting one of those in there, you've got to take up two spaces. So trying to find that balance of, yeah, we know clients are using that, but powering it, cooling it, that's really the challenge that we're faced with as an MSP and a data center provider. And I will say just kind of watching that market evolve and knowing that we've got clients that we're providing that type of service for already that aren't in those really, really high power intensive use cases. There's going to be a balance, and I think trying to figure out what that is in terms of offering what we can support versus what clients need, we're watching it closely. And specific for enterprise cloud, the same rules apply there. We have built that out such that if we have clients that need GPUs, we're running Dell R750s that do allow for that expansion. So for certain use cases, we absolutely have the ability to do that without having that kind of overwhelming power and cooling concern on the facility side.
Let's talk about security. Can you expand upon how you secure environments, the different technologies that clients can use to secure their environment, such as your NSX Advanced Load Balancer, for example? And then maybe we can touch on the shared responsibility model between yourselves and your customers.
Yeah, specific for enterprise cloud, I can just touch on the different cloud-native security features that NSX offers. So in addition to being able to set up normal firewall rules, ACLs, separate VLANs, they do offer the options for threat detection. So for clients that want additional security or maybe have compliance requirements that they have to hit, we do offer intrusion detection, intrusion prevention, WAF services. If you really want us to lock an environment down, NSX offers what they call micro-segmentation that essentially allows firewall rules set at the VM level. So if you really want to isolate a specific workload from the others or the internet or basically whatever you want to block from hitting that, it allows that level of protection. We also have DDoS protection on the front end through Cloudflare that's looking for those alerts and picking up any kind of DDoS attacks that may happen in the environment. And we've also got Veeam, which I know backups and data retention and working with clients to establish their data retention policies. That's something that's really big. But just Veeam natively is an industry leader in backup and restore functionality. And they've got ransomware baked into their service as well. So essentially, whenever that backup or that snapshot of that VM is taken, that code is run through their SIEM to look for any known threat patterns. And if there is some sort of ransomware attack, it's noted, it's highlighted. And the idea there is you're not restoring from a corrupted file. So you can basically roll back to whichever version is safe and know that that code is not in there anymore. So that's huge. All those tools are available, but it does go back into that shared security model. And that's kind of where we can help our clients within the enterprise cloud, because we're developing that solution, we're deploying it, and we can suggest different products that can help them secure their environment.
I could add a few notes on Bare Metal. As far as security is concerned, some standard features would be our standard DDoS protection. That's our Fend system. And we also offer an additional level on top of that, which allows for additional customization if you want a beefier DDoS protection on your Bare Metal. And we also have our site-wide firewalls at each of our locations, as well as additional ACLs at a rack level that just comes standard for network protection for your services. And then on the add-on side, we offer managed services. That's that OS level agent that will install additional protections onto your system, as well as monitor your hardware and software resources internally. And as far as backups go, we currently offer our rapid restore backup system in case you are impacted by some sort of threat or some sort of ransomware. You can restore from any of your daily backups that get saved in the portal. And with Veeam, we're also looking to add that to our Bare Metal service, as well as an additional backup option. If you're, you know, familiar with Veeam and really like what they offer, I think they have a great product. Veeam will be available sometime in the coming months on Bare Metal.
How important is redundancy? And more specifically, redundancy by default?
Yeah, I can speak on terms of redundancy for enterprise cloud, just in terms of how we built everything, either N+1 or N+2, just in terms of eliminating any single point of failure in the environment. And just with VMware in general, you know, obviously it's been around for 15 years or so, probably more, just in terms of all the redundancy that's built into the hypervisor itself and the way that we deploy clients into that environment, depending on their resource requirements. But we'll typically build out host clusters between 6 to 9, maybe 10 separate nodes, just to ensure that there's enough resources there. They can expand it, they can contract it, they can pay for what they use. But if one or two or three of those hosts, just power supply goes out or blows up or whatever, it's no longer accessible, the environment is redundant enough to keep running. So it's fairly bulletproof unless the whole data center goes out. And that's kind of where you get into that more DRaaS or disaster recovery as a service that we offer through Zerto, where we're really looking at a client's environment. We've got a mirrored data center that we can move everything over to and keeping VM synced. We'll set up runbooks, we'll deploy that, and we'll work closely with our clients to see in what order those VMs need to come back up whenever they declare a disaster, to try to eliminate any single point of failure in the case of a whole data center that goes away. And typically that's going to be something from a network outage, or maybe they're doing construction in front of the building for whatever reason, and somebody cuts a piece of fiber. That's typically what it is. But it's more providing insurance to customers for business continuities, that if something does happen, then they know that their environment's going to still be able to function and their business can continue.
Yeah, I would say, comparing and contrasting to Bare Metal, I think there's more, obviously, with a clustered environment, by default, you kind of have a little bit more high availability baked right in. But we do try to utilize as many best practices for high availability with Bare Metal as we can. Similarly, from what Jeff said, we have, you know, our A and B power, and on systems with dual power supply, if one of those sides goes down, your Bare Metal server will stay up. As well as on the switch side, all of our standard rack configs have stacked switches, basically two switches acting together to provide redundancy, and our ports come bonded by default. So assuming that you keep that bonded setup on your server with whatever you're running for your application, if one of those switches goes down, you will remain connected from the other switch, staying in sync. Oh, in addition, if you have any other custom clustering solution that you use with your company, and you have the means to deploy that on bare metal through our APIs or through automation, then you could add additional levels of high availability with your custom solution that you want to launch.
In looking at your services on both sides, Enterprise Cloud and Bare Metal, we've been able to look at a number of services and priorities that listeners may want to compare to their own current cloud management practices. As we conclude, do you have any other pieces of wisdom or recommendations?
I always like to advise clients to really get away from the traditional way of thinking about how you're going to be running your applications and focus on what's going to run it best. You know, so if you've got environments that are applications that maybe you're doing a lot of data analytics, maybe you're doing data mining and you want that data to work for you, maybe looking at a public cloud solution through AWS or Azure is better for that particular workload, versus maybe you've got more traditional applications or you have seasonal types of activities that require certain levels of traditional compute, that could be something where a bare metal or a enterprise cloud or just IaaS in general would be a better place to run that. And a lot of clients are taking on that more of that hybrid approach. A lot of them are getting more advanced with their applications. So they're kind of moving away from that traditional three-tier architecture more to like a CI/CD pipeline or DevOps type of mentality and how they're developing their applications and continuously revamping their code. It's going to come down to where is that going to run best? And what are you doing with that data once it's completed? So if you've got SQL databases, maybe more the traditional type of IaaS services, bare metal, enterprise cloud, or even colocation, whatever is going to work best for those type of environments. But I like to, when I'm talking to clients, really dive into what they're trying to do, both from their business perspective, what their financial requirements are, and what that application's doing, and kind of who is it serving? Right? And where is that going to run the best? But we're not going to push towards public cloud. But a lot of clients do appreciate that type of guidance. And we do try to act as that trusted advisor to our clients when we're helping them with solutions and put them in what's going to make the most sense for them.
And Sandro?
Yeah, things that come to my mind kind of slightly different. I was more thinking along the lines of if you're with another provider, like what are your pain points? Is their support giving you trouble? Are you having issues scaling, meeting deadlines with time constraints, such like that? I think venturing out and giving High Velocity a try and taking a look at what we have to offer and checking out our industry-leading NPS score for support, you could find great success in trying High Velocity out.
There is so much that can be gleaned from your descriptions today. Very straightforward. This is a very complex environment, of course, fraught with threats and opportunities that seem to evolve daily. So, Jeff Collins, Manager of Product at High Velocity, I thank you so much for joining me here today on the Cloud Tweaks podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today, Steve. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and hopefully the audience will look at High Velocity and see if there's anything we can help you with. And if there is, by all means, please reach out. We're happy to help you.
And Sandro Del Sandro, Product Manager at High Velocity, thank you, too, for your expertise in this episode.
Yeah, of course. I think it was very productive. It was exciting to hear the different pros and cons between both solutions. And if you look at both solutions, you will figure out which one works best for your use case.
And, of course, to continue this learning, you can find out more about High Velocity by going to their website. High Velocity is spelled HIVELOCITY. And the website is highvelocity.net. And as for us, remember, if you like what you hear on the podcast, be sure to subscribe and tell a friend or a colleague or a client or all of them about the Cloud Tweaks podcast. We will be back again soon with another episode and another discussion on the topics that you need to know about to successfully carry on in the business of information security. Until then, I'm Steve Prentice. Thanks for listening.